Father, as we stand here today, we are people of the Word, and I hope that we really are people of the Word, that we are in your Word, that we know your Word, that we understand your Word, that we obey your Word, and that we also share and proclaim your Word. We pray today, Lord, that you will make the Word a centerpiece of our lives, and as we go about our daily lives, that we would not undertake a day without recalling your Scripture, and whenever possible, each day, to expose ourselves again to a portion of your holy word, that just as we want a new meal each day, or we want fresh bread each day, so we would want fresh word from you, Lord, for the things that we confront. And Lord, just continue to teach us your word, that we may walk in your word, and that we may do as you said to Joshua, to not let this word depart from our mouths, but to meditate on it day and night, that we might be careful to keep it, Lord, in every detail. And then you said that if we do this, you will make our way prosperous. So, Lord, as we engage the battles of life, and there will be battles, and sometimes there may be many, Lord, just help us, teach us, Lord, the value of your word in confronting the things that we face each and every day. Thank you that your word is the final authority, and thank you that you have given it to every believer to be able to use effectively. Now take your word today and encourage us through your word, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks and keep the notes and all that. Now would be a good time to get that. We talked the first Sunday, confronting in faith. By faith, we've come this far by faith, we walk by faith, and that is how we confront the challenges of life. And last week, by the blood. The blood is not only the basis of our forgiveness, but it is also our covering. It is our protection as we go out and as we battle the forces of evil day by day. And so it all has to be on the basis of the blood. And of course, we all know about the Word of God. And today, we have read a passage here where Jesus himself engages in what I call personal warfare with the devil. Have you ever engaged in personal warfare with the devil? And that is really our primary focus today, although we're going to take a little bit more here and do more of a package here and how that fits into it. But there are times when the enemy comes against us and attacks us. And in this particular case, Jesus has just been baptized, and there has been the glorious manifestation of God, because as he comes up out of the waters of baptism, the heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove and lights upon him. And then a voice from heaven speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it's the only place I know of in Scripture where we have manifestations of all the members of the Trinity at the same place at the same time. But then immediately following this, Jesus is now getting ready to engage in his ministry. He is 30 years old, which is the minimum age for a rabbi to be able to exercise his ministry and be recognized in the nation of Israel. He is getting ready to confront demonic forces. He is getting ready to fulfill the very thing that his father has sent him to do. And before he is, say, allowed to do that, he is led by the Holy Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. Because if he cannot face these temptations, and if he cannot face these tests, then he, you know, has less credibility even before the principalities and powers in order to carry forth the ministry that God has given him. And so, just a personal note here, as we seek to be used of the Lord, please understand that we do want to be used of the Lord, but we've got to have our own house in order, and we've got to be able to confront certain things. We hear today of many who were big-name ministers, and then they fell into adultery, or they were big-name ministries, and they fell into the love of money and the mismanagement of funds, big-name ministries, and you find out that they've been involved in dubious things, and it is possible that these people have not been properly vetted. And when God is going to send somebody out and God is going to use somebody, that's wonderful. But we have our own hour of temptation we have to face and we have to deal with. And better get that out of the way on the front end than to have it occur after we are already embedded in ministry. And then great damage is done to the kingdom. Great damage is done to the name of the gospel because we weren't properly tested before we went into the ministry. And I know this isn't something that we enjoy and it's not something we look forward to. But we need to have an understanding that sometimes we are, I hear that we don't want to overdo this thing, and I think maybe some do, but we do come under personal attack sometimes. And we do have that one-on-one, and I don't mean by people, I mean by the enemy. And we do have those times of spatial trial and spatial temptation. And if we are unable to confront those successfully, we are not able to be effective in certain levels of ministry because these things involve a certain amount of, well, you know, again, we the old saying was what? Practice what you preach. You maybe have heard those who say, every time I point the finger out there, I'm pointing several back at me, whatever. But whether you're in the pulpit or not, God wants to use you. And so every believer is going to have times when they're tempted and the devil wants to make you fall, no matter who you are. Because if he can get you to fall, he can't take your salvation, but he can sure cause a lot of problems for you and a lot of other people, and he can also greatly damage your credibility. And so these things are necessary. And so Jesus is called out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. There's nobody else out there. There aren't any disciples around. Mom and dad aren't around. Nobody is around. And he's out there. And this is a one-on-one contest between him and the tempter. Now, how many know that the tempter's out there? Hal Lindsey wrote a book years ago, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Do you doubt that for a minute? He is out there on the loose, and he is trying to get people to fall any way that he can, any opportunity that he has. But he's out there for 40 days. But when do the temptations come? At the end of the period. Because it says after 40 days, Jesus was hungry. Do you reckon you might be hungry after 40 days and 40 nights? And that's another thing the enemy loves to do. He's been at this. How many know he's been at it a long time? Has he gotten pretty good at it? Somebody been doing something a long time. We have a few fishermen in our midst and one of spatial note and been doing quite a bit of fishing and gotten pretty good at it. But you find out which lures work, don't you? After a while, you find out what kind of conditions and all that. The enemy knows all this. But he comes to him, and we know this story. You say, well, how does the Word of God fit into this? Well, we're gonna see that here in a minute. But how do we want to confront? You know, we're going to have things to confront in the year 2012, I'm sure. Every single one of us. And some of you may be in the middle of some stuff right now. Well, how do you want to confront it? Do you want to just confront it, as they say, flying by the seat of your pants? Do you just want to confront it and say, well, you know, whatever, you know, we'll take it as it comes or whatever? Or do you want to confront it, you know, in confidence? Would you recruit a bunch of guys and say, we're going to send you to Afghanistan? Put a uniform on them, give them two or three things and say, okay, you're going out on the next plane. Wouldn't there be some training involved? Wouldn't there be some teaching them what they can expect once they get there? And, of course, having all the proper tools. Do you want to confront the enemy based on your own wit and your own keenness and your own ability to deal with the problems of life? Anybody here brave enough? You want to undertake that? Do you want to confront the problems of 2012 by taking all the advice off of the morning TV shows and off of whatever the general wisdom is out there in the world? Is that how you want to confront the problems of life? Do you want to confront the problems just based on the advice you get from your contemporaries and from your friends? There's a place for that, But is that enough? And is that what we want to rely on in order to confront things? We need something more solid than that. And that thing, of course, is the Word of God. And how many know that if you are going into battle and you are going into warfare, you'd better have the right weapons? How many know that's true? You'd better have the right weapons. And if those guys have automatic machine guns, you better not go out there with a primitive spear. You know what I mean? Because you will get creamed. And so the Word of God is one of the most important things that God has given us as a tool to use in spiritual warfare. Now you see the scriptures we have up there. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, we say, why God's Word? Why is it important that as we have challenges in the year 2012, that we confront them in the authority of God's Word? Well, here's a few reasons. Number one, and this is our first blank, because it is the final authority in heaven and on earth. You say, well, I thought God was the final authority. He is. And his word is the final authority in heaven and on earth. Because his word is his expression of his will, his purpose, his plan, his nature, his character, and everything that he is. And how many know he's never changed his word? God has never said, oh, by the way, Isaiah, how about scratching through that? And I made a mistake there. We believe this to be the infallible, God-breathed Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. These holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There aren't any mistakes in it, and it therefore is God's Word, and it is the final authority. Now, it's interesting to me that the Lord Jesus Christ, being God's sinless Son, he could have taken on the enemy in his own authority. We might not be able to because we're born in sin. But remember, he had no sin. He had the credentials, and he could have confronted the enemy in his own authority and said, Satan, I'm God's Son, therefore this or that or the other. But it's interesting to me that Jesus, in his humanity, does not do that. He does not use his own authority in dealing with the enemy, though he could have, but he goes rather to the Word. And guess what? Was it enough? It was enough. And that's why he uses the Word. Because it is enough. It's always been enough. And that is why we've got to be familiar with the Word of God, because that's the one that's going to get the job done. But he could have used his own authority. He doesn't. He goes to the Word. What does he say? It is written. Is that what he says? It is written. What does he mean by that? It is written in the Scripture. God's Word says this. And so we have that verse, Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The Hebrew, I looked it up there a little bit, and it said it means settled, it means established, it means stands firm. So God's word is established in heaven. It is given one time. It is in force for all eternity. It carries all the force of God himself. It is just as eternal as God himself. Therefore, that is why nothing else is needed. So it is the final authority in heaven and in earth. And we have an advantage with the Word of God, interestingly enough. This occurred to me, I'm like, wow, that's interesting to me. But you may have somebody out there that's ignorant of the Word of God, and they don't acknowledge it as the authority or whatever, and they're like, no, that's just the Bible. That's just a bunch of garbage. That's just a bunch of stuff that some men wrote, and they won't even listen or recognize the authority of the Word of God. But guess what? Satan does know, and the demons do know, and so when you use the Word of God against them, they have to submit to it because they do know, and they do acknowledge it. And so the authority of the word is enough. The word is enough. If you give a certain weapon to your troops, let's say there's one individual weapon, a sword or whatever it is, you give a weapon to a guy, will that same weapon work equally well for another person as long as it is handled correctly? Absolutely. Because the weapon is the weapon. Do you follow me? So the Word of God in your hand, my hand, if it's handled correctly, God's Word is all that is needed. It doesn't matter who's handling it. It's just, it is enough within itself. It just has to be handled correctly. So God's word in Jesus' mouth did the job. Will God's word in my mouth do the job? Yes, it will. If it's handled correctly, as long as I'm not walking in disobedience, as long as I'm under the blood, as long as I really belong to Him, it's just as effective from my mouth as it is anybody else's mouth. It's just as effective in your life when you use it against the enemy as it is in my life when I use it against the enemy. Because it is what? God's word. And it is the final authority. And that's the other thing. Why would you want to mess around with something less when you have the best? When you have what will work and what is effective? Number two, because it is effective and powerful. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. God's Word is very, very effective. I was at the Gideon banquet last night, and there were a couple testimonies there last night. Of course, what they do is distribute scriptures. So most of their testimonies are about how God used a copy of the scriptures in somebody's life. And he was talking about a pastor who pastors in another part of Virginia who said that he was raised by alcoholic parents who were also atheists and had told him from the time that he was little to never read a Bible, that it was unreliable, that it was just written by man, and he was actually under orders not to. But they were on vacation somewhere when he was 13. Mama was passed out drunk on a bed over here, and Daddy had gone down to the bar to get some more to drink, and a Gideon Bible was sitting there, and he said, I defied my parents. And the speaker said, how many of you ever did that? And he opened it, and where he opened it was to the psalm where it says, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. And he took that Bible, and he took it home, and he started reading it, and he came to the Lord, and today he's a pastor and a minister of the Word. So you see, God's Word is what? It's powerful. It's effective. There are so many testimonies of people whose lives have been changed just by reading the Word. So that's why we use the Word of God. That's why we confront whatever we're confronting based on the Word of God. Number three, because it is the primary offensive weapon in the spiritual struggle we're engaged in. For that, you just go to Ephesians 6. And we have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of preparation and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. All of those are basically defensive. And then we have what? The sword. The sword was the offensive weapon in the Roman military. That was the offensive weapon. And when you wanted to act, everything else was defend you. But when you wanted to go and take it to the enemy, you used the sword. And that's what the Word of God is. Number four, And because every believer is authorized to employ it in Jesus' name. Every single true believer is authorized to use the Word of God in Jesus' name. That's why I say, if it's wielded by you, wielded by me, whoever it's wielded by, if God's Word is wielded correctly, it will have the same effect in every single situation. Aren't you glad that God gave us such a thing as His Word? Amen. Now, if we want to be effective at using this sword, then of course, yes, God's Word has to play a central role in our lives. And so this little cycle, let's look at it here. And this is just, you know, there are other ways of doing this, obviously. But this gives us at least some idea how this works. I'm talking about stages and applications of God's Word in the life of a believer. And that's every believer, any of us. Number one, I call it acquisition. That part is made up of learning and assimilating. How many of you know some math? Maybe you don't know algebra, but you know some math. Did you go into kindergarten already knowing math? I didn't go to kindergarten. I went straight into first grade. But I didn't know any math at that time. And little by little, I started to learn math. But do you still use math? Huh? We use it more than we realize, don't we? In any given day, we don't even think about it. But it's because, you know, now we can go on and there are levels in it. But before you can use it, you have to know it. So before you can do addition, you've got to know addition and any other thing, subtraction, multiplication, division, whatever. And so acquisition. So we can't use what we don't have. So that is why it is so important to constantly be adding to our knowledge of the Word of God, because we cannot learn it all overnight. I've been studying the Word in one form or another for probably around 50 years, and there is still so much more that I don't know, and there is still so much more that I still want to learn, and every single week I want to learn a little bit more about the Word of God. Now, let me ask you something real practical here. Do you have to go to Bible school to get familiar with the Word? Do you have to have 3,000 books in your personal library, like Dan Jones had? That's how many know Dan Jones, who pastored in Reedsville? 3,000 books, and he told me he read every single one of them. And that's wonderful. But do you have to have that to be familiar with the Word of God? Probably the most important thing to be familiar with the Word of God is to just keep what? Reading the Word of God. That's why I'm so excited about this E100 thing. People are saying to me, oh, thank you for that E100 thing. You know, well, I just, whatever, you know, somebody mailed it. We put it out there, but some of you are using it. They're like, wow, and they're asking questions and stuff. And then some have told me, and me and my spouse, for the first time in our marriage, we're reading it together every day now. And then I know that some of you are actually reading it with your children. And that excites me. So that's the whole thing, you know, that we just continue to stay in the Word of God. The Bible isn't one of those where you say, oh, I've read that. I've read that one. So it goes over here. Now, no. This is it, folks. This is it. And we'll never exhaust it. We'll never reach the place where when we read a passage, we won't get something new from it each time. And so there has to be continually the acquisition. Then, of course, implementation, which would be applying and obeying. So I'm reading, and I see where the Lord says, honor me with your substance. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I need to do a little better in my giving to the Lord. Or I read another passage where it talks about how I need to forgive. And I realize at that moment, I need to forgive. Or that I need to trust the Lord. I was able to share a verse with somebody, that two different people, same passage within about an hour. Three times in that passage, we just turned there, I started reading. Three times it says, fret not thyself, fret not thyself, fret not thyself. Three times in like eight verses, don't fret. Anybody here fret? Don't fret. Whatever. And to implement it, because that's what it is. That's all confronting life and the authority of the word is. I read it and then I do it. Number three, the personal warfare that we're talking about. Like when Jesus encountered that temptation. That was just him. That was just him and Satan. And he uses the word of God three different times. And that part is claiming and confessing. The enemy will attack your faith. He'll try to get you to doubt or whatever. That's why you have to know the promises, claim the promises, and confess the word of God. Now, the word confess, we think of it usually as, yeah, I did do that. But confession really means to say the same thing. So confession isn't just owning up to the wrong we've done. Confessing is basically agreeing with God and what he says. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, does the Bible say that? That's not confession of sin. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so it is in the situation, taking the part of the word of God that applies to that situation and confessing it with my mouth. I know that it looks like this, and I know this is what I'm seeing or hearing or whatever. But more important than that, I know what God's word says about it. And we speak that word, and we confess that word, and we address that word to the situation, and we stand on it. Because again, it's the final authority. And that's the only way. That's the one thing the enemy knows he has got to, when God's word is wielded in authority, he has to submit to it. And then number four is sharing and proclaiming. And when we share God's word with the unsaved to bring them to a knowledge of the Lord, what do we call that? Evangelism. And that's your blank there. And when we share it with those who already know the Lord but want to know more and they want to grow in their walk, what do we call that? Discipleship. So then the cycle starts again. And all four of these things need to be going on in the life of every believer all the time. Within any given 7-day period, there needs to be some acquisition. There needs to be implementation. How many have ever heard somebody that could quote whole chapters of Scripture, but all they wanted to do was debate and argue, and their lives really didn't represent what a Christian is all about? You ever met any of those besides me? Those people exist. Those are people that are great on acquisition, but they haven't gotten as far as implementation. Then there are others who say, well, I just live my testimony. Well, that's wonderful. But is that enough? Is there a time to speak to someone and share Jesus with them? Closing with this testimony last night, and it makes that point. This man's over the whole, 193 countries where the Gideons are, that spoke to us last night. But he said they were in a Eastern European country. And they were there, and they were on one of these things they do where they, for a week, you know, they're just distributing scriptures as fast as they can, and they're out in front of a school or whatever, and they're opening boxes, and these two girls come over and start helping them. And they help them, and they're there with them from like 7:30. They arrived about 10:30, and then about 1:30, one of the Gideons got tired and thirsty, took a break, and then he said, oh, by the way, what church do you go to? And they looked at each other and, actually, we don't go to church. Well, but I take it you must be Christians? No, not really. So he takes a little time, and they're Buddhists. So then he figures it out. Okay, he said, well, why did you help us? You're not Christians, but you're helping us to give out copies of God's word. They said, well, we thought what you were doing was a good thing, so we thought we would help you. So he's thinking, okay, they're thinking they're doing a good work, right? So then he gets around to sharing the gospel, and guess what? Both girls open their hearts and receive Jesus as Savior. So there's an example right there. Living the life is wonderful, and we need to do that. And if our life isn't consistent, our testimony isn't going to be good. But there's always the time. There is a time to share it. We've got to share it with people as well. So some of this needs to be going on all the time. And if we're going to be able and ready to confront whatever it is that we're confronting on any given day, and sometimes stuff comes at us really fast, how are we going to be able to properly use the sword of the Spirit? How are we going to be able to properly use the Word of God to apply it and to confront our situation unless we've been doing these four things all along? Does that make sense? So you go into the military, you get all the training. You don't know what day you're going to meet that enemy on that battlefield. You don't know the exact geographical location. You don't know the exact number of troops that you're going to be encountering on that day. But if you've been following all of your training all along, no matter when that happens to be, or even if it's a surprise attack, if you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing all along, will you be better prepared to engage the enemy? And the answer is absolutely yes. And what if we haven't? Well, if we haven't, then the story may not have so happy an ending. So I just want to encourage each and every one. Let us do these things so that when we do encounter that battle, whether it's in a just the enemy and us, or whether it's some other situation, because we've been doing the things we're supposed to be doing, we have that weapon, we know how to use it, we can break it out at a quick notice. How many remember those old westerns and where the two guys are always facing each other out in the street? And who would usually win the gunfight? The one that was the fastest, right? And that's kind of how it is, you know. But that takes what? It takes practice. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for this wonderful, wonderful weapon and tool that you've given us, which is your word. So, Lord, we do pray today. Help us as your people to understand that as never before, we need to rely more on your word and less on human wisdom. More on your word and less on our own know-how, our own ability, and our own strength. Less on other things and more on your word. And Father, that this year, 2012, will be a year where because we are into your word, reading your word, getting familiar with your word, assimilating your word, applying your word, that, Lord, we are able to begin actually employing your word as a sword as we confront the enemy and as we confront the things that come our way day to day. Thank you that your word is always effective, always active, and of course is backed 100% by you and by your Holy Spirit. Teach us each day more your word, to love your word, to walk in your word, and yes, to confront each thing that we face in the authority of that word. Thank you that we need no other. Thank you that your word is all sufficient. So we thank you. Lead us more and more into the knowledge of your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.